coming to you this morning with grateful hearts, grateful to know that the Word of God is powerful and alive and is able to discern between bone and marrow, between flesh and spirit. And God, we want the Word of God to come alive to us all the time, but certainly during this time that we've dedicated as a church to gather together on a Sunday morning, having worshiped you, God, through song, singing these lyrics, that, Lord, truly these are prayers of our hearts, that you have good plans, that we, God, have everything that is available to us as believers, as Christians, to overcome sin, to overcome the darkness in this world. And though we still have to deal with sin on this side of heaven, God, you've given us a way to fall on our knees in repentance, to come to you and know that forgiveness is always there for us. So God, I pray that you would forgive us for the mistakes that we've made this week, for the errors that have happened maybe even already today. Lord, sin has a way of creeping back in. And so we pray during this time that we would be reminded that you have given us the whole armor of God to fight the battle that we're all in, a spiritual battle. So wherever we are in that battle, God, I pray that we would listen, that we would learn, that we would remember the things that you've told us as you speak through the Apostle Paul in the final section of this letter, and may it be with us all the days of our lives. So bless this time, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Two men were walking down the street and noticed this elderly woman walking towards them. The one man said to the other, he says, "This is Mrs. Jones. She always has something good to say about everyone." And so the other man decided to test her. So when she got close, he hollered, "Mrs. Jones, what do you think about the devil?" She thought for a moment and then answered, "He sure is busy, isn't he?" God bless you. Maybe that's the case in your life. The enemy's been busy. You know, I like to remind myself all the time that greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. And so when the enemy presses in on you, it's a very good indication that you're going in the right direction. Because he doesn't like you living for God. He doesn't like you praying powerful prayers. He doesn't like you encouraging other people to believe in Jesus. He doesn't like you reading the Word of God. And so he's trying to steal, to kill, and destroy, and rob us of the victories that we have. But greater is he in us than he that's in this world. And so God is saying, listen, you might be attacked by the devil. He's good at what he does. I say that all the time. Every time I have something in front of me that's tempting me, I'm like, oh, the enemy knows exactly what gets me going. He knows exactly what, you know, will get you going as well. But we have to hold on to the truth that though he may be busy, we're already more than conquerors in Christ Jesus. Amen? We have the victory. So don't let the enemy beat you up. You know, I used to have a friend that said anytime he was tempted with sin, he would say the name Jesus 3 times slowly. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. And he said every time he got to the last Jesus, he said the temptation would be gone. Why? Because his focus got off of the temptation and got on Jesus. So whatever it takes for you, maybe you got to say Jesus 20 times. To get to that point where you go, I'm not going to go there. But whatever it may be, it's always getting our focus on Jesus, isn't it? And it may be a word, it may be a scripture. We're going to see many of those scriptures here this morning. And so as we get into this, yeah, the enemy may be busy. But 1 Peter says this, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour." The reality is, for the believer in the spiritual realm, the enemy wants to destroy us. He wants to devour you. He wants to become a wedge in your marriage. He wants to become a division in your families. He wants your kids to hate you. He wants you not to listen to your parents. Whatever it may be, he wants to get in there and he wants to devour you. He doesn't just want to mess with you. He doesn't just want to make your day a bad day. He wants you to be dead by the end of the day. And so Wake up, church. There's a real live enemy out there. But again, I come back to that. But the Spirit is with us. If you're here today and you believe, and I believe that this is a message that makes us all go, do I believe in what I believe? Do I embrace the truths of the Scripture that we are more than conquerors, that we are overcomers? Because the battle is so real. The enemy pulls one of us aside and picks us off. How many of us know believers, Christians, that have been pulled aside and been picked off? I know pastors that have been picked off. I know husbands that have been drawn away from the love of their wife to live in and have an affair and destroy their marriage. I know what the enemy does. He does it well, guys. And if we let him, he'll pick us off. And I don't know what it is. I know what it is. But there is such a passion in my heart for you to not get in a place where you feel like it's too much and just want to give up. Don't give up. Don't give up. Yes, it's tiring. Yes, it's overwhelming. Yes, it's discouraging. Why doesn't God change it? Why? He can do it. He's all powerful. And I don't have the answer to that. But I know we want to get to the end of our lives and hear those words, well done, good and faithful. Enter into the rest. It's a battle on this side. It's a rest when we get there. It's a rest when we get into the presence of God. It's a rest when we fix our eyes on the glory of Jesus. It will be worth every battle we fought. And let's also remind ourselves, the battle belongs to the Lord. Casting our cares upon him. The enemy wants you to be consumed with whatever's going on in your life. And you lose that focus. But Peter says, be sober, be vigilant, because the adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Notice he says, be sober, be vigilant. Have a clear mind. Be engaged in your life. Because when you let go of the reins, when you just try to coast, guess what? That's when the enemy can get us. So the enemy wants to destroy you. He wants to devour you. But James's brother, the brother of Jesus, tells all Christians this. Don't you love this verse? My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. Wait one second. Joy? You wake up this morning, struggling, finances, relationship issues, struggles with your family. Thank you, Lord. What a joy this is. No. We're not joyful for the struggle. We're not joyful for the hurt. We're not joyful for the pain. He goes on and he says, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. These things in our lives that God allows stretch our faith if we engage our faith. It makes our faith stronger. So when you become in a battle, when you become in a, if you will, what he says here, a various trial, whatever trial it may be, you consider it pure joy because you know it's going to produce something in your life. Not because of the pain that you're in, no, but because of what it's going to produce in your life. Nobody prays for patience, do we? No. You tell all new believers, don't pray for patience. I believe that's a lie from the devil. I think we should pray for patience. So that we exercise the strength of our faith, because the stronger our faith is, guess what? The more patience we'll have. But anyway, we know that with patience, praying for patience, comes testing, comes trials. So when you go through something, and you're probably going through something right now. I've already talked to several people this morning and just hearing their stories, hearing what they're struggling with, hearing what their hurt is. You see it in their face, the pain that's there. They wouldn't think it's joy. You don't get comforted by a trial, but the patience that will be produced, the faith that will be stronger later for greater things, and maybe even faith for someone else to witness in your life. What a beautiful thing that would be. We're going to look at three aspects of the battles we fight in our lives every single day. And you see the title, Dressed for Battle. Whenever I think of the armor of God, I think of, man, we got to be dressed. No soldier goes into battle without the whole armor. And this is not a physical armor. This is not something that we're going to clank around. But it's a spiritual armor, guess what? That needs to be put on and left on. Sleep in your armor. It's not something you hang up in the closet at night. No, no. You sleep in it. You keep it with you. The sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, keep it with you. The shield of faith, keep it with you. Make sure you are always prepared because you don't know when the enemy's going to attack. So being dressed for battle, Paul will encourage us in three things. Look with me, if you will, at verse 10. And I love this verse. Finally, after everything I've spoken about, everything I've told you about in this book, finally, my brethren, the other believers, Paul is speaking to believers here. He's speaking to you today if you are a believer in Jesus Christ. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. This is the key to being an overcomer, being strong in the Lord. God doesn't call you to be strong in yourself. God doesn't say, oh, Rob, be as strong as you can today and see if you can get through everything. No, I need to be strong in him, not in myself. No physical strength of our own can overcome the spiritual battles in our lives. So God is saying, hey, I'm going to prepare you. And Paul is saying here, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord. Trust in God. I was going to say someone in here probably needs to be trusting more in the Lord. We all need to be trusting more in the Lord. There's something you're dealing with that you're not sure why it's happening, and you got to trust in the Lord. Be strong in the Lord. One of my favorite verses is, the joy of the Lord is my strength. It's in Nehemiah. The joy of the Lord is my strength. We joy in God. We don't joy in anything in this world. No, what Paul says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. He is stronger than anything that's coming up against you. I forget who said it. Somebody will remind me after service. But someone said once, you plus God is greater than anything else. The reality is, God plus nothing is greater than everything else. So whatever problem you have, God is greater than it. Whatever difficulty you're going through, God can get you through it. And you can look back and go, I can't believe God did that. Have you had any of those in your life where you look back and go, I can't believe God did that? That's you were trusting in his strength. You were trusting in his might and in his power, not our own. I don't know about you, but when things don't go my way, I'm always asking myself, God, am I not praying enough? God, am I not giving enough? Am I not reading the word enough? I always put it back on me, right? We just live in a fallen world, guys. We got to realize that. That there's just trouble in life. And I believe God allows trouble in a Christian's life to show his faithfulness. Oh, God, we wish you would do it faster. Oh, God, we wish you would do it sooner. But ultimately, we give God the glory for it. How strong is your God? That's, I guess, the question. When Paul says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of your might, does anybody say, yeah, but you don't understand what I'm going through? There's no but against God. God's greater. God's bigger. God's stronger. God's smarter. God's a lot more patient. So focus your strength on the Lord, because Paul says that's so important. In verse 11, put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. I don't know if you noticed it or not, but in verses 11 and in verse 13, we see three times if you include the word withstand. We put on our armor, and we go out into battle, and what do? Stand. Stand. God says, put everything on, and then I want you to stand there. I want you to witness my power. I want you to witness my deliverance. I want you to see what I'm going to. God doesn't even want us to fight. He wants us to have the armor on for protection. He wants us to have the armor on so that we're equipped and prepared, that we can see clearly and understand what's happening in our lives. But he just wants us to stand. At the end of your life, God just says, well done, good and faithful stander. Not battler, not fighter. And it's just so the Lord to just stand, right? The winner of in a boxing match is the one who stands at the end, right? The one who stands the longest. They get the victory. And as I said in my opening, there are too many people that are getting picked off. Too many believers that are being drawn away. I have a pastor friend in this area that just in this year has already officiated 3 funerals for people who committed suicide. All within the ages of 20 to 40. It's everywhere. I mean, I imagine many of you have heard about Mandisa taking her life. This is a woman who wrote songs like Overcomer. This is a woman that wrote a song that says Unfinished. I mean, I've always enjoyed Mandisa's music. But the Overcomer one, it was a little too bip-boppy for me. but it had a powerful message. But what's interesting to me is that when Unfinished came out, she spoke about her Overcomer song in the lyrics of the Unfinished song. I know I was the one that preached to you, be an overcomer, but it's not easy all the time. In fact, I have the lyrics here, and I just think they're powerful. And if you look at the titles of most of her songs, this woman was struggling. And it just tells me, watch for the signs of people that are struggling. Watch for the signs of people that are having a hard time. They're trying to put on the good suit. They're trying to put on the good face. They're trying to put on this facade to say everything's good. I've preached so many times from this pulpit, when someone asks you how you're doing, be honest. Tell them how you're doing. Somebody asked me this morning, how are you doing? Could be better. They were shocked that I answered that way, because you just expect, I'm fine, I'm good. Let's be honest. Something was going on in Mandisa's life. Why wasn't there someone there? For these 3 funerals that my pastor friend affiliate, why wasn't someone there? And maybe someone was there. I mean, they don't even know what happened with Mandisa yet. I don't want to look into it. But I mean, for someone to take their life, you are so valuable in God's eyes. Don't forget that. You may not put value in your life. You may not think anyone else in your life puts value on your life, but God puts value on your life. And I'm telling you, there's a lot of people that need you in this world. Don't let the enemy whisper in your ear and say, you don't need to be here. Don't let it happen. And listen, I know it's hard, but sometimes you just got to reach out to someone and say, man, I am having some bad thoughts. Bad thoughts. And I'm not saying I have. I've had bad thoughts, but I'm not saying I'm having them right now. Don't want anybody to misinterpret. But let's be real with each other. Don't put on the face. Again, Unfinished. These are the lyrics. Not scared to say it. I used to be the one preaching it to you that you could overcome. I still believe it, but it ain't easy. Because that world I painted, where things just all work out, it started changing. And I started having doubts, and it got me so down. But I picked myself back up, and I started telling me, no, my God is not done making me a masterpiece. He's still working on me. There was something going on in this woman's life, and there may be something going on in your life. And maybe you just need to put the armor on. Maybe you just need to finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord. You can't do it. You aren't perfect. You aren't going to be able to be perfect in everything that you do, but your God is. Don't let the enemy whisper in your ear that you are not of great value, because God sees you of great worth. And wherever you are, God will use you. Don't compare yourself to others. That is a big mistake. And if we compare ourselves to Christ, we fall woefully short, but the reality is we're supposed to become more and more like him. That's the idea. We're going to try and get more like Jesus, less like ourselves, less like others, more like Jesus. Be an overcomer. God is still not finished with us. Get to the end. Get help if you need it. We all need help. And God has given us the body of Christ to help each other. It's nothing wrong with saying, I've messed up. In fact, just this week, we got an email. The Calvary Chapels got an email from the Calvary Chapel Association that a Calvary Chapel pastor took his life. And you read that, and you're, at first I was like, oh, he must have gotten a car accident. But then the more I read the email, I was like, he took his life. Again, the enemy wants to devour, wants to destroy, wants to kill you. And if he can get you outside, if he can get a pastor, if he can get Mandisa, who's written many songs, gifted artist, maybe I can get to this one and discourage him enough to say, I'd be better off dead. Don't do it. Don't do it. This pastor had family. This pastor had kids. This pastor had a church. Whatever it was. Listen, I'm not painting any phony picture. Being a pastor is not easy. But the reality is, we're still human. And we need God. And I share it because I think it's important in the days that we're living. I don't know if it's just because I'm getting older, I'm hearing more and more about it. But I feel like we're hearing more and more about people taking their own lives. Don't go to that place. Make sure you are putting on. Look at what it says in verse 11. Put on the whole armor of God. It's God's armor. It's armor that's spiritual armor. It's armor that he says, this is what you need to put on so that you can overcome, so that you can defeat the enemy, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. The wiles of the devil are the schemes, the deceptions, the things that he does to get against, to come against us. Those are the schemes of the devil. The enemy just needs to trip us up. I had a friend say once to me, the devil doesn't have to make you bad, he just needs to keep you busy. And that's so true. He just has to distract us enough to get away from the things that God has given to us, especially when we talk about the armor. And notice it says put the whole armor of God on. I think that's important. Don't just put half of it on. Don't just put some of it on. Oh, I'm too tired today. I don't really need to read the word. Oh, I'm too tired today. I don't need to pray. I don't need to think about God today. I don't need to hold to the truth. I don't need to do it. No, why? The enemy deceives us when we think we can do it in our own strength. But put the whole armor of God on you. You know, I like to downhill ski. And when you go downhill skiing, you got to go prepared. You got to make sure you have the right clothing. You got to have the right gear. And I don't know what it is recently. I've been having this nightmare that I go on a ski trip for a week and I don't bring any of the right clothes. No clothes, no equipment. I open my suitcase, I forgot my stuff. It's like I like packed for going to the beach. And it reminds me, it's like, that's how we are sometimes as Christians. We pack the wrong stuff. We're going with the wrong thing. We need to put on the whole armor of God all the time. Again, put it on and leave it on is great, but it's like constantly allow God to work through you and equip you. I would ultimately say if we're being attacked, overly attacked by the enemy, and he's getting to us, that we're not doing what God says. We're allowing the darts to hit us. We're allowing the arrows to hit us. We don't have the shield of faith. Well, I've got some faith, but I don't have enough faith. You need a lot of faith. And so put it on. Stand against the wiles of the devil, for we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. The person that you're mad at, the person that you're arguing with, your boss, your employee that's driving you crazy, that's not the battle. It's not a physical battle. It's a spiritual battle. It's a spiritual thing that we're fighting. There is a Satan and his dominion in the world that is fighting against truth. That's the battle. So we have to fight that battle with spiritual things. We can't fight it with physical things. So put it on and leave it on. Stand. that you may be able to stand. I love that. Stand so that you'll be able to stand. Practice standing. Practice standing in the Lord, because you're standing in the armor. You're standing in those things. We'll get to the elements of the armor in a moment. But the reality is, we have to realize where our strength truly comes from. Our strength comes from the Lord, right? So if you're here today and you're feeling weak, if you're feeling down, our strength is from God. And trust in him. Turn with me, if you will, to 1 Peter. Sorry, I didn't tell you that beforehand. 1 Peter chapter 5. We will pick up in verse 5 as well. So 1 Peter 5, 5. I want you to see this. I think it's important for when the enemy truly attacks. 1 Peter 5, 5 says, likewise, you younger people, submit yourselves. Why do I feel like this is the wrong scripture? Oh, no, it isn't. I'm sorry. Likewise, you younger people, submit yourselves to your elders. Yes, all of you, be submissive to one another and be clothed with humility, for God resists the proud and gives grace to the humble. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Verse 8, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Look at verse 9. Resist him, steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. A couple things that are so powerful to me, or for us to understand here, is number one, we see it again, be sober, be vigilant, the adversary, the devil seeks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him. Don't battle him, don't fight him, don't tell him he's wrong. Resist him. Just, Satan, leave me alone. Because, again, greater is he that's in us than he's in the world. All we have to do is resist. We don't have to fight the enemy. We're not equipped to fight the enemy. We've got to let God fight that battle. Resist him, steadfast in the faith. It's our faith that pushes against Satan, right? When Jesus was tempted by Satan, what did he do? He used the word of God. He spoke scripture. That would have defeated the enemy. He didn't push him. He didn't do anything harsh towards him. He just said, Satan, you're wrong. This is what the word of God says. So resist him with the word of God and our faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. I think this is so important to for us to understand that we're all going through this together. None of us are exempt from it. If you're not having any trials, if you're not having any difficulties in your life, God bless you. Make sure you hang around other people that are, because they need to be encouraged by you, because we're all going through something, guys. We're all dealing with every single one of us that come in here on Sunday morning. We might have the smile on. We might not, you know, look up real pretty and real handsome, but underneath, it's like, oh, turmoil, struggles. Don't even want to think about Monday. Don't even want to think about what my week's going to be involved with. No. Resist him. Resist him. That's what Peter tells us to do. Resist the devil. I love that. I think that's so powerful. Don't try to fight him. Just resist him. In fact, I got a verse here in James. Another verse. I'm going to go back to Ephesians here. I love this verse that James gives us. Therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. So again, he uses the word resist. Resist the devil, he'll flee from you. But notice what you have to do first. So important. Submit to God. See, the world can't just resist the enemy. There's no power in that. The enemy looks at you and goes, for what? If you're not a believer. But if you submit yourself to God, if you're underneath the authority of Christ, if you're walking with the Lord, if you're mindful of the things of God, if you're growing in your faith, if you're growing in your knowledge of your Savior, then guess what? You're submitting to God. You're being obedient to him. It's so much easier to resist the devil. Because anything the devil offers is less, infinitely less than whatever God could offer. Remember, the enemy said to Jesus, I'll give you the whole world. Jesus, like, I own so much more than that world. Everything that the enemy came at, Jesus says, I don't need that. I've got something so much greater. We have the Lord, so submit yourself to God. And what does that mean for you? I don't know. What does that mean to you? Sitting and being alone with the Lord? Yes. Talking to him while you're driving in your car? Yes. Having a conversation while you're walking? Yes. While you're working? Yes. It's submitting yourself to God. It's immersing yourself into the presence of God. And say, Lord, you're my Lord. You're my master. You're the one I take instruction from. I submit to you. And when the enemy tells me I'm worthless, I have to look at him and say, God says I'm blessed and highly favored. I'm the apple in his eye. I'm sitting in the palm of his hand. The enemy just wants you to believe a lie that's not real. And so if we know the God, if we know God, if we submit to him, if we know the word, we can combat the enemy with the word of God, because that's what Jesus did. But submitting is first and foremost. Then we can resist. You got to go here. Let's go to Matthew chapter 16. Matthew 16. Maybe we won't finish Ephesians today. Matthew 16, we're going to be in verse 21. Very familiar area of text. We read, from that time Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised the third day. So Jesus lays it out. He's telling his disciples, this is what's going to happen. Everything I'm telling you absolutely happened. Look at verse 22. Then Peter took him aside, because Peter's smarter than the Lord, and began to rebuke him, saying, far be it from you, Lord, this shall not happen to you. You got to love his fervor. You got to love his commitment. You got to love his love for Christ. I understand it. We wouldn't want anything to happen to our Jesus. But look what Jesus says. But he turned and said to Peter, get behind me, Satan. You are an offense to me, for you are not mindful of the things of God, but the things of men. Peter wasn't Satan, but the context of Peter's desire to keep his Lord there with him, selfishly, was a scheme of the devil. To tell Jesus, you're not going to do what you've come here to do, is what the enemy wanted to stop him from doing. So anything that hinders your progress in the Lord is a work of the enemy. Too busy, not enough this, not enough that, whatever it may be that's keeping you from spending time with God, submitting to the, whatever is keeping, is a work of Satan. I'll tell you. I know how many people I've talked to. I remember one gentleman down in Florida. He wanted to start a home Bible study. And every time I talked to him, I'm praying about starting a home Bible study. Okay? Next time I said, I'm still praying about I go, do you really need to pray about God's word being taught in your home? How hard is it to pray that? God, do you want your word taught in my home? I mean, I'm thinking it's a yes. Maybe it's a no, but I would think it'd be a yes. And it's just the enemy keeping him from doing what he was called to do. And I was like, listen, if God's called you to do it, do it. There's no good time. And you know the very first Bible study he had? That week he got sick. That's the enemy. One of our very first missions trips, there was a gentleman, we were in a bus, we were driving from one location to another location in Peru. He was supposed to teach a Bible study. The closer we got to the Bible study, the sicker he got. Until when we got off the bus, he literally fell on the ground. He was so sick. You know what we did? We all got around him. We laid hands on him. We prayed for him. He was fine. He taught the Bible study. That's what the enemy does. He wants to take us out. He wants to take you out. Resist him. We've been equipped by God to overcome. Let's see what it is. If we go back, we know it's the enemy. So, and I don't like to give the enemy too much credit, but he certainly does mess with us. And I will say this. A believer cannot be possessed by the devil because you're possessed by the Holy Spirit. But you sure can be pushed around by the devil. the difference. So, realize, or excuse me, what was my first point? Realize where your strength comes from. Your strength is from God. Number two, rest in the strength God has given you. Look at verse 14. Stand therefore, there it is again. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, highlight that. That's a good thing when it says above all. This is the most important. Taking the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. Ooh, above all. That's a highlighter. The shield of faith. Your faith in God should be greater than your belief in the devil. Your faith in the Lord. Greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. So above all, Paul says, the shield of faith. You read through the Gospels, and pretty much every time Jesus heals somebody that requests something to him, he says, your faith has made you well. Your faith, because of your faith, because of the faith of the friends that dropped their friend down through the roof, because of their faith, Jesus healed. Faith is important. That's why Paul says, above all, take the shield of faith, because that's what fights the darts of the enemy. That's what fights the accusations of the enemy. The enemy says you're failing, you're not a good husband, you're a terrible wife, you're not a good parent, you're not a good child, you're not a good pastor, you know, whatever. And the shield of faith says, no, God has called me to this. God has put me in this position. I may fail, but I am being used by God. The shield of faith, again, quenches all the fiery darts of the enemy. So again, if you're getting hit by the enemy, it's because you're not holding your shield. You have to hold the shield of faith. The other things, we'll get to the last one here in a minute. Girded, notice all these having. These are things that have happened in the past. Having girded your waist with truth. You don't do it when the enemy attacks you. You don't try, oh, hold on, enemy. Let me get in my armor. No, no. You have these things on. Having girded your waist with truth, that means it's like a belt. In fact, another version, see if I have it here. Of course I don't see it. Here it is. Another version says this, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist. What does a belt do? Keeps your pants on. It's like, put the belt of truth around you so it holds you. Not only does the truth hold you, you hold the truth. So that's what's so important. So having put on the breastplate of righteousness, that's the righteousness that Christ has given to us, we put that on. And having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, always ready to give an answer for the hope that you have in Jesus. God, who came in as a human, lived a perfect life, was beaten, was crucified, died, was in a tomb for 3 days, and rose on the third day. That's the gospel. We have to be prepared for that. When someone asks you why you have your love for God, how do you share? What do you share? You don't say, go talk to my pastor, he'll tell you. No, you know what it is. Above all, taking the shield of faith, which will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one, right? Wicked one. Look at verse 17. And take the helmet of salvation. I love the fact that it's a helmet of salvation because people need to know they're saved. So you put that on, like, I'm saved because of what Christ did. I'm not saved because I'm a good person. I'm not saved because I got baptized. I'm not saved because I do this. I'm not saved because I don't do that. I'm saved because Jesus did something. The helmet of salvation. Do you believe in Jesus? And the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Above all things, we need to know the word. Need to know the word. Are you every single day in the scriptures? I'll confess, I'm not in the scriptures every single day. And those are the days I'm the weakest. But when I'm in the word every single day, reading it, letting it get in me. You know, I've been doing the Bible in 1 year on our website. And yesterday we started Revelation. And it's like, just reading that. And it's a lot. Takes a little bit. Takes me a while. I don't read very fast. But you know what? The word's getting in there. Could I recite everything I read? Absolutely not. But I remember we were talking about the churches and Jesus being in the midst of them and Jesus wanting them to repent. Speaks to me. Anyway, the word, it has to be in us. Take the sword of the Spirit. Again, that's the weapon that we have. And we carry that, not to harm anyone, right? But to fight the battles. And then the last thing, I love this. I love what Paul says, praying always with all prayer and supplications in the Spirit. Praying in the Spirit. Being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. And for me, that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mysteries of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. I think Paul, after talking about the armor and making sure you're fully clothed and prepared for the devil, he says, you know what's really important? Make sure we're praying. If there's anything in your life that you're complaining about, offer it up to God in prayer. I think about that pastor who took his life and wonder who was praying for him. He must have felt ineffective. He must have felt, I don't know, overwhelmed with the days we're living in and the decisions that the church has to do to stand for truth. It was too much for him. But were people praying for him? I covet your prayers. I struggle just like you do. And I pray for you. Wednesday nights, we make sure we spend time praying for each other. It's an important time. Paul takes a whole section and says, okay, once you're dressed, once you have the whole armor on, pray. Pray for each other. And then Paul says, pray for me. Pray for me that my mouth will speak the gospel. How important it is to preach and to speak the gospel. Speak it in our homes and to our families. Our co-workers, all. Finally, and I want to end with this, verse 21, but that you also may know my affairs and know how I am doing. Tychicus, a beloved brother and faithful minister in the Lord, will make all things known to you, whom I have sent to you for this very purpose, that you may know our affairs and that he may comfort your hearts. Peace to the brethren and love with faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be with all those who love our Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity. Amen. At the end of this letter, I see and hear Paul saying, listen, I'm going to send a faithful brother and minister in the gospel. He's going to come and he's going to tell you everything that's going on in my life. And I would submit that what the Tychicus went and told these churches, because Paul's just like you guys. Paul's going through difficulties in his life too. Paul's having to put his armor on. He's having to hold the sword of the Spirit. He's having to hold the shield of faith. Paul's human just like you are. And I think God wants us to realize we're all in this together. And so Paul sends this brother, faithful brother, to go and say, hey, this is what's going on in Paul's life. Notice it says, at the end of verse 21, we'll make all things known to you. And then in the verse 22, that he may comfort your hearts. We all need to be comforted, don't we? I'm so thankful for the people God has put in my life to hold me accountable, to love on me, to encourage me. But I'm also thankful that God puts me in other people's lives. I had a pastor friend tell me the other day, he says, there were several times I wanted to quit, and it was you that encouraged me to stay. I'm like, I did that? I looked right at him, I said, well, you've done it for me too. That's what we do, guys. We work together. So what's going on in your life? What struggles are you having? Is your armor sitting in the corner of your house collecting dust, and you're just getting beat up by the enemy? Go home. No, don't even leave the church. Put your armor on. Increase your faith. Know the word of God. Here's a great text for us to practice. Lord, the enemy's real. He wants to kill us. But man, let's go mess up his day, shall we? Instead of him messing up ours. Be dressed for battle, because it truly is a battle. And I think the closer that it becomes the Lord return, the more difficult it's going to be. But make sure you put it all on. Don't leave one piece down. Pray with me, priest. Father, we're grateful and thankful that salvation is through Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ alone. And I pray for this church. I pray for all the people in this room and all that hear my voice. I pray, Lord, that they have the helmet of salvation, that they truly know that they are saved because of what you've done. There's not one in this room that's perfect, except you. We all fall short. We all make mistakes. But even as you say in the book of Revelation to the churches that were lukewarm and compromising and forgetting their first loves, every one of them said, you said, repent, turn around, change your course. And for some of us in this room, and maybe all of us, Lord, there's been pieces of the armor we haven't been using. For whatever reason, we thought we could do it in another capacity, another way. But we've been reminded this morning that the whole armor of God is what we need. May we truly live in this world as overcomers. We know your work that you began in us, Lord, that you will complete it, that we're works in progress, each and every one of us. So corporately, we repent, Lord. We repent of our sin. We repent of listening to the enemy and believing lies, that we stand on your truth. And I pray for those in this room that are confident in their God, that they would, in fact, comfort others. For faith is so important in these last days. Faith to believe that you will get us home safely. Oh, we might be battered and bruised, but we can't wait to be reclothed, Lord, in your righteousness, in your glory, to be with you forever. So if there's anyone here this morning that has never given their lives to Christ, I pray that they would realize that your hands are wide open. You're inviting them into your family. It's a choice that they make. No one can make it for them. They need to surrender their will for your will. Desire to submit to God. And then they'll find that there'll be spiritual blessings poured all over them. It won't always be easier, but they won't have to do it alone. So bless us, God. Bless us this day. Bless us this week as we walk in our armor, bringing glory and honor to you. For it's in your name we pray, Lord Jesus. And everyone said, amen. Shall we stand?